Lamentations today, Book of Lamentations. The Book of Lamentations is just five chapters long, and it can be read in about 10 or 12 minutes' time. If you wanted to call it Second Jeremiah, you would have the right, for the passionate prophet of Israel wrote the book that bears his name, and he also penned the words of this book as well that we'll be looking at today. It is only fitting that the prophet, which is credited with this book, has named it what it is. Jeremiah, the prophet that we have come to know as the weeping prophet, also shared his final summary in the book titled Lamentations, which means to lament, to weep for, or to cry for. His entire life, from the days of even his youth, as we see in the very first chapter of Jeremiah, was to bring a message to God's people, a message of change, a message of repentance, a message of refocusing of their lives. And in this final chapter of his final book, we are reminded that life is hard, and at times life is unfair. And sometimes things happen because God makes them happen. And sometimes things happen because God allows them to happen. And sometimes things happen because we live in a fallen world. And sometimes things happen, well, just because things happen. I heard this story years ago, and I'm sure that most of you have heard it as well, but I want to focus on it just a little bit differently today. It's about an especially verbal and boisterous child that was being hurried out of the church service, and he was slung under the arm of his irate father as they marched out of the church service one morning. No one in the congregation so much as raised an eyebrow, even looking at the dad or the young boy as they left the room. Until the child captured everyone's attention by crying out in his charming southern accent, "Y'all pray for me now, you hear?" Now, I can't help but think that maybe what has been going on the past several months, we might have a little bit better insight to what this little boy was talking about, or at least what he said. Or how he said it. It is certainly one thing to cry out during our times of trials and our times of struggles. But I think as this little boy pleaded with everyone, it's a totally different thing for us to cry out in prayer. And that's what I want for us to focus on here in the book of Lamentations. I did notice one neat thing about the book of Lamentations that I did not know before this study, reading through it. Chapters 1, 2, 4, and 5 all have 22 verses in them. And then in chapter 3, which would be the culmination of 22, 22, and then would be 66, there's 66 in the third chapter. I just thought that was interesting. Put that in your trivia mind base there for Bible knowledge. But 22 verses, 22 verses, 66 verses, 22 verses, and 22 verses. So we're going to be looking at 22 verses today in chapter 5. In probably the first part of this sermon, including what I've talked about so far, we're not going to find overwhelmingly encouraging. We're not going to find it to be a pep rally. What it is really a time for us to look inward. That's what Jeremiah has been spending all of his years, from the time he was a youth until he was an old man, as Israel was led away into captivity, into Assyrian captivity, and Jeremiah was allowed to go in and out and even go to Egypt and come back. Jeremiah wants for us to learn something. He wanted for the people of his day to learn something. And as we said, it all settles up here in chapter 5 of the book of Lamentations. I've entitled the first portion of our text here today, remember us, Lord. Remember us, Lord. The first 15 verses say this in Lamentations 5. Remember, O Lord, what has befallen us. Look and see our reproach. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our house to aliens. We have become orphans without a father. Our mothers are like widows. We have to pay for our drinking water. Our wood comes to us at a price. Our pursuers are at our necks. We are worn out. There is no rest for us. We have submitted to Egypt and to Assyria to get enough bread. Our fathers sinned and are no more. It is we who have borne their iniquities. Slaves rule over us. There is no one to deliver us from their hand. We get bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness. Our skin has become as hot as an oven because of the burning heat of famine. They ravished the women in Zion, the virgins in the city of Judah. Princes were hung by their hands. Elders were not respected. Young men worked at the grinding mill, and youth stumbled under loads of wood. Elders are gone from the gate, young men from their music. And the joy of our hearts has ceased. Our dancing has turned into mourning. Why should we ask Him not to forget us for what has happened to us, and not to forget what has happened to us? Who listening here and paying attention to this sermon this morning can stand and say that they are innocent? Who can dig their heels into the ground and look God in the face and say, I have not sinned? And Jeremiah is reminding us all of our own plight, reminding us all of our own sin. And it is ever before us. Take a look at this list that Jeremiah puts out here. He makes mention of many things in life that should not go wrong. But they have gone wrong. We say, well, why can't it just go on and we get back to normal? Well, things go wrong. Things happen. I cannot help but to reflect on so many of these different happenings that are actually affecting us even now during what we're calling our COVID-19 age, that are so similar to what is found here in the fifth chapter of Lamentations. I've kind of taken those verses that we have just read and I've put them into my own translation. It says this, and see if it doesn't fit us today. The only thing it doesn't mention was the lack of toilet paper supply. But it says they have lost their wealth, they have lost their security, they have lost their family. They pay for water, right? Who goes around buying bottled water? They pay for fuel, they face creditors, they are stressed beyond belief. They had to give in to get their food. They are being controlled by those that are oppressed. No one gives them help. No one gives them hope. They are attacked by strife. They are attacked by disease. Their wives and daughters have been abused. The leaders have been refused. The young men have been stolen of their spirit and their vigor. And joy has stopped, and praise has turned into worry. Their glory is gone. They've had, as we would say today, they've had the life sucked out of them. Now, I think we've all been there, where there are times in life, in situations, that make it more difficult to worship God, that make it more difficult to praise God. And that's where we have to ask the same questions that they did. Do we think that we are undeserving of a rebuke? Should we not be chastened? Are we something special because we're here in 2020 and we're Christians in the greatest nation on the face of the earth? Does that mean that we shouldn't face problems and difficulties? By no means. Do we think that the bow should not cross our backs in punishment? And yet then we say, why do we have to face these struggles and trials and even the hardest times of our life? Why is it that we feel at times, and even though we know he hasn't, we feel like God has forgotten us? And just as Jeremiah reminded them, I remind you today, and I remind myself, that our loving Father remembers us. As we pointed out, remember us, Lord. And he does. This passage that I want to share out of the book of Psalms is as much for me today as I hope that it is for you. So listen intently. Psalm 78:7 says this, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, the things that he has done, but keep his commandments. As the psalmist tells us, our confidence should be in the one that is the giver of life, not the one that snatches life from us. Our confidence should be in the one who offers hope, not the one that steals it away. Our confidence should be in the one that satisfies our thirst, not the one that makes us parched. Our confidence should be in the one that set the universe into motion, not the one who can ruin our day or ruin our month or maybe even ruin our year. Our confidence should be in the one that heals and not in the one that harms. Our confidence should be in the one that is the reason for our joy, not in the one that tries to steal that joy from us. Our confidence should be in the one that is worthy of all of our praise. Our confidence this morning, church, should be in Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah? Praise ye the Lord. Amen? That's who our confidence should be in. And yet, there are times that we forget, just as the nation of Israel has forgotten. And then we have to consider, how did we get to where we're at? Is it because we've been righteous? Is it because we've been holy? Is it because we've done everything that we're supposed to do? No, usually we get into the situations that we are in, as we mentioned before, because there is sin, there is transgression, and we live in a fallen world. It doesn't even matter how good we are, there are still going to be trials and struggles that go on around us, and we may be a part of that from time to time. However, nevertheless, Jeremiah reminds the people there's something that they need to do. There's something that we need to do. And that is, there needs to be repentance for our sin. We are immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins so that our sins are washed away. But oh, don't we wish? Wouldn't it be great if we never sinned again? But we do. And those sins continually need to be repented of. And the Lord will wipe them away, as we're told in 1 John. This seems to be the overwhelming message throughout the writing of the minor prophets, is the repentance for our sin. Repent, repent. As we continue in our text for today in Lamentations chapter 5, verses 16 through 20, it says this, "The crown has fallen from your head." Remember, we talk about that crown of life that we are striving for? "The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us." For what reason? "Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our heart is faint. Because of these things, our eyes are dim." Verse 18, "Because of Mount Zion, which lies desolate, foxes prowl in it. You, O Lord, rule forever. Your throne is from generation to generation." Verse 20, "Why do you forget us forever? Why do you forsake us so long?" God cannot tolerate sin. And when we feel like there's been a separation, I guarantee you it is not on the Lord's part. It is on our part. With all the glory of being a child of the King, why do we feel that we have lost so much? I honestly believe it's because we, as the nation of Israel, we have lost our focus. God does things and allows for things to happen to help bring us back into focus. A focus that is on Him. Not a focus on the sports world. Not a focus on the monetary system of the day. Not a focus on even government issues. A focus on our Lord, God, and Creator. And dare I say, our Savior. A focus that brings our attention back to the Father. It has been said that God is never too busy to hear the cry of His children. And that's why, as the little boy in our lesson, as we started, they cried out, "You all pray for me now." Maybe that's what we need to do, church. Maybe that's what we need to do, Christians. Maybe that's what we need to do, nation of the United States of America. But many times we are too busy to cry out to Him. I suggest that moving forward in our lives with an act of submission, in an act of contrition, and in an act of lowly humiliation, we cry out to Jesus for help. Cry out to Him in repentance for our personal sin. And that we cry out in repentance for our national sin. As Jeremiah said, so should we. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Church, the sooner we realize that we still live in a fallen state of sin in the world around us, woe to us, for we have sinned. May we be ever vigilant and strive to put Jesus Christ first in our life. In the final two verses, and especially the second to last verse I want to focus on here as we close out this morning, that restoration comes from the Lord. Restoration comes from the Lord. Restoration will only come after repentance is requested. Then reconciliation can take place. Lamentations 5:21 and 22 says this: restore us to you. That means we have moved. That means that we have decayed. That means that we have rotted away. That means that we are not what we should be. Restore us to you, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days as of old. In other words, let's take it back to the beginning when our sins were washed all away. Help to make us as white as snow. Help to make us pure in your sight again. Unless you have utterly rejected us and are exceedingly angry with us. To me, that kind of sounds like a wild and bizarre way for Jeremiah to end the book and to end his two books and to end his thoughts. But then I guess you have to go back and look at how Jeremiah has been talking for the two books of Jeremiah of 52 chapters and five chapters in Lamentations. That sometimes we wonder, God, are you mad at me? And the fact of the matter is, He is not. For He has sent His Son to reconcile us. Reconciliation through the blood of Jesus Christ, as was discussed this morning during our communion meditation by Brother George. As a reminder, all throughout history, God has sought to reconcile us back to Him, and blood, the shedding of blood, the application of blood has always been required from the garden till Jesus on Calvary. Because He wants for us to be brought back to His loving side, to the loving side of the Father. I heard another story about a young boy that was sent by his mother to go down to the local corner store to buy a loaf of bread one day. He was gone much longer than he should have been, than the time that should have taken him to go there and back. When he finally returned home, his mother asked, "Where in the world have you been? I've been worried sick about you. I thought you got hurt or something bad had happened." The little boy looked at his mother and he answered this. He said, "There was a little boy with a broken tricycle who was crying, so I stopped to help him." The mom then looked at the little boy and she says, "Really? Because I didn't know that you could fix tricycles." The little boy said, "Mom, I can't. I just sat there and cried with the little boy." As we know this, you know, you don't have to be good with words. Sometimes all we need is somebody to sit down and cry with us. In our lives today, Jesus will be the one to stand beside us and cry with us. We know this is in our lives during our times of struggle and during the times of loss, that just being there to share someone's pain and grief will be more appreciated than you can ever know. But you know, Jesus is not just standing there with us. He has done everything that was needed to restore us and to make us whole and complete once again. Restoration comes from the Lord when we repent of our sin. And yes, it is a reminder to us that the Lord is always thinking of us. There's a plan of salvation that is given that we need to be obedient to. But if you're here and you're outside of Jesus Christ, we pray that you would be obedient before it's eternally too late. In John chapter 8 and verse 22, there, verse 24, it says that unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Luke 13:3 says that we need to repent. If we don't repent, we will all perish. Matthew 10:32 says that we need to confess Jesus Christ. And if we do that before men, then He will confess us before His Father who is in heaven. Then we need to be immersed into Jesus Christ. Where Jesus says in Mark 16:16 that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. So that we can finally meet together in that great judgment day and have that crown of life. Be faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10 says, and I will give you the crown of life. We thank you so much for tuning in today, for sharing with us. We pray that if you're outside of Jesus Christ, that today would be your day of salvation, that if you have any questions, that we've got phone numbers that you can call us. There's contact page on the website that you can contact us. But we pray that you would look to Jesus to restore you to the side of our Father which art in heaven. Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Our Father and God in heaven, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for the many blessings that you share with us. We thank you for the fact that you do remember us, and we are reminded of that daily. We are thankful for the fact that we can come to you in repentance, that when our heart is true, that when we have been contrite, that you will forgive our sin. We pray, Lord, that you would restore us. Restore us individually, restore us as the church, and may we as a nation do our best to restore the God morals to this country. May we all be drawn closer to your side. We thank you for your love for us, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're interested in helping out in support of the ministry here at Harlan, you can send your tithes and offerings to the address on the screen of 17108 State Road 37, Harlan, Indiana 46743, where it is our goal in this community to seek the Lord, to send the light, and to serve him as well. Thank you so much.